Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, dealing with the loss of a pet, we'll hear about which common plants are toxic to your pets, and we'll learn proper feeding for your pet rabbit. We'll start with saying goodbye. This is from Pet Tail Spring 2018 edition. Saying Goodbye, Helping a Child Deal with the Loss of a Pet by Melissa Erickson. The joy of owning a pet goes hand in hand with the heartbreak of losing it. When a pet dies, people often grieve as if losing a family member, but how that loss affects children is a largely ignored topic, says Joshua J. Russell, assistant professor of animal behavior, ecology, and conservation at Kinesis College in Buffalo, New York. Russell conducted one-to-one interviews with children ages 6 to 13. His research examined how children understand the death of a pet and the ideas, feelings, and responses they have when their pets die. Children often see themselves as the center of their pets' affections. They describe their pets as siblings or best friends with whom they have strong connections, he said. Children, in particular, have a distinct sense of existential fairness around whether or not an animal lived until an appropriate age, said Russell. There was plenty that was surprising in my research, including children's equating various moral or fairness elements with the deaths of their pets. For example, there were mentions of unfairness when pets died as a result of an accident or when they hadn't reached a reasonable age or expected age. On the other hand, children were more comfortable with death or thought euthanasia was justified with pets that lived a full life, Russell said. Family and friends can help a child cope with the loss of a pet through discussion and things like traditional funeral rituals like reading scriptures and making tombstones, he said. New pet? The study also looked at whether a new pet would help lessen a child's grief. How soon is too soon to move to a new pet? It is clear from my research and reflection that children grieving for a pet are often new to the experience of bereavement. They mostly spoke of learning about grief, and that grief is a temporarily bounded experience that eventually they heal and feel better. That, I think, is important. We all need to learn that sadness, mourning, and bereavement are temporary emotional responses and that the grieving process is healthy and takes time, Russell said. Rushing into new pet relationships or bringing new pets into the home to help children cope may not be in their best interests. Likewise, some children actually spoke about getting new pets as disrespectful to the pet that died. So if I was giving advice, it would be that children may tell their parents when they are ready to engage in a new relationship and that together you should allow yourselves to grieve and move forward before bringing a new pet into the family, Russell said. Learning and growing. Children are capable of dealing with grief, Russell said, who found that they spoke very wisely about grief as a temporary experience that they could handle and from which they could learn. It is painful to see children grieve, but they are quite able to grow and develop through that process. Parents who tried to hide their own grief did so often unsuccessfully. I also think that readers should know that children value animals' lives and seek input on how families make decisions about their non-human members. It is important and helps children maintain a lifelong commitment to treating non-human animals ethically and with care, he said. And here are some pet loss and grief resources from Best Friends Animal Society. There are a number of resources to help you cope if you are grieving the loss of a pet. First are hotlines and support groups for coping with grief over the death of a dog, cat, or other pet. Griefhealing.com is a website that lists a number of helplines. Petloss.net, that's PET-loss.net, the Pet Loss Support page, lists hotlines and contains many other resources. tufts.edu, Tufts University School of Veterinary Medicine in Massachusetts. The school has a hotline staffed by veterinary students who have participated in training sessions with licensed psychologists. During the academic year, hours are Monday through Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. During the summer, hours vary, so please call for more information. The number is 508-839-7966. Next is cvm.msu.edu, Veterinary Medical Center at Michigan State University. The Pet Law Support Group, run by Veterinary Social Work Services at MSU's Veterinary Medical Center, offers a safe place for individuals and families to express their feelings. Meetings are held the second and fourth Thursdays of every month at 6:30 p.m. in the Veterinary Medical Center, and there's no charge for this service. The phone number is 517-353-5420. vet.cornell.edu, College of Veterinary Medicine at Cornell University, New York. This hotline is staffed by veterinary students trained by a grief counselor. Hours are Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The site also gives links to additional telephone hotlines and other resources. And their number is 607-253-3932. Washington State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Their email is plhl@vetmed.wsu.edu. Hotline volunteers are a group of WSU College of Veterinary Medicine students who have received limited training in grief counseling by licensed therapists. During the summer, phones are normally staffed Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific time. There's abbreviated coverage when school is not in session and during holidays, and their phone number is 509-335-5704. Pet loss and grief websites and web pages. APLB.org is the Association for Pet Loss and Bereavement. It's a nonprofit association of concerned volunteers who are knowledgeable about the tender subject of pet death and dedicated to helping people during this very special kind of bereavement. The website contains an extensive list of resources related to pet loss. Next is CAAAINC.org. The Companion Animal Association of Arizona has a pet grief support service that provides pet loss resources. The association is operated entirely by volunteers who themselves have suffered the loss of a pet. Next is csu-cvmbs.colostate.edu. This is the Argus Institute at the College of Veterinary Medicine at Colorado State University. Honors the human-animal bond by providing compassionate support and advocacy for people who care about animals. The webpage contains links to pet loss resources, including recommended reading for both adults and children. Recommended online articles for animal loss support. On Animal League Defense Fund's website at aldf.org, you can read Loss, Grief, and Mourning by Barbara Myers, Certified Grief Therapist. On the Pet Loss Support page can be found various articles by Moira Anderson Allen, M.E.D., including the 10 Tips on Coping with Pet Loss. Washington State University's College of Veterinary Medicine, vetmed.wsu.edu, has an informative article called Supporting People Who Are Grieving. Recommended books to cope with losing a pet. The first is Goodbye, Friend by Gary Kowalski. Kowalski's book is full of sound, compassionate advice to get through the loss of a pet. Included are ideas for rituals and ceremonies, spiritual guidance, and readings for solace. Kowalski includes advice on how to take care of yourself after the death of a pet and the importance of honesty when talking with children about this event. Next is Saying Goodbye to the Pet You Love by Lori A. Green, Ph.D. written by a psychologist who is a leader in the field of pet bereavement, this practical but sympathetic guide validates the survivor's often misunderstood feelings, explains the importance of the human-animal bond, and offers strategies for working through the grieving process. Topics include memorializing the pet, recognizing problematic thinking, finding support, dealing with guilt, and explaining the pet's death to a child. The special needs of the guardians of working animals are addressed, as are self-help resources for the elderly. Grieving the Death of a Pet by Betty Carmack. Written by a nurse and professional pet loss counselor, this book draws from her experience of counseling people who have lost a beloved pet, as well as the loss of her own furry friends. Carmack offers pet loss support to counter a world that reminds us repeatedly that grief for an animal doesn't count as much as grief for a person. The book is poignant and sometimes heartrending, filled with personal stories of love and loss. Pet Loss, A Spiritual Guide by Julia Harris. This book helps readers to understand the many emotional reactions to the loss of a pet, assist children in coping with and recovering from their loss, and learn how different spiritual belief systems recognize and counsel pet loss. Practical topics include what happens at a pet cemetery burial, cremation or home burial, what legal arrangements are available, how to develop a ceremony to honor the pet, and how to cope with the trauma of a terminally ill or runaway pet. Cold Noses at the Pearly Gates by Gary Kurz. This book can help you cope with the loss of a pet and tries to answer questions about pet afterlife. When Only the Love Remains by Emily Margaret Stuparik. This book is a collection of poignant poems. Three Cats, Two Dogs, One Journey Through Multiple Pet Loss by David Congleton. The author talks about how he transformed his anguish over the loss of several pets into a commitment to abused and abandoned animals. This down-to-earth book offers solace and practical suggestions for coping with grief. Anyone who has an animal companion will find this story inspirational and hopeful. For children and teenagers, Dog Heaven and Cat Heaven by Cynthia Ryland. These books will appeal to children from preschool to grade 2. The simple, colorful illustrations take the child on a journey to Dog Heaven or Cat Heaven, places of warmth and happiness. In Dog Heaven, there are fields and fields and fields. And in Cat Heaven, there are thousands of toys and soft angel laps in which to cuddle up. God is depicted as a kindly older man who benevolently watches over his charges. Tear Soup by Pat Schweibert. This book tells the story of an old woman named Grandy who is making tear soup. It's not specifically about the death of a pet. The reader is not sure what loss Grandy has suffered, so the book is relevant for any grieving process. The full-color illustrations are wonderful. The book is recommended for ages 4 to 8, but it has been a comfort to people of all ages. For Every Dog an Angel and For Every Cat an Angel by Christine Davis. These small, short books, which tell the story of the Rainbow Bridge, are beautifully illustrated in whimsical watercolors. They are appropriate for a wide range of ages. And for therapists, Pet Loss and Human Emotion, Guiding Clients Through Grief by Sherry Barton Ross and Jane Baron Sorensen. This unique guide, written for mental health professionals, serves as a practical introduction to the field of human-animal bonding. The authors feel strongly that pet loss needs to be understood by therapists and others in the helping professions to better enable them to help clients through this type of grief. Citing several case studies, the book describes various techniques for helping clients cope with the loss of a pet. There are chapters on working with children and the elderly. You can find this article with all of the links and contact information on the Best Friends website at bestfriends.org. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, Pet Tales Spring 2018 Edition. Dangerous plants for your pets. 11 Dangerous Plants for Your Pets to Avoid by Joshua Peitzold. When you're out walking your dog, the kind of plants you walk past are probably not at all at the top of your mind. Your main priority is enjoying the time outside with your furry friend, and it should be. However, there are some plants and flowers that you should be on the lookout for. These common plants could be in your neighbor's garden or grown at the park, but your pet can become very sick if these plants are ingested. The first, and looks like they're in alphabetical order, autumn crocus. Autumn crocus is highly toxic and can cause severe vomiting, gastrointestinal bleeding, liver and kidney damage, and respiratory failure. Bring your pet to the veterinarian immediately for care. Signs may be seen immediately, but could be delayed for days. Azalea. Azaleas can have a serious effect on pets. Eating even a few leaves can result in vomiting, diarrhea, and excessive drooling. Without immediate veterinary attention, the pet could fall into a coma and possibly die. Cyclamen. The roots of this seasonal flowering plant are especially dangerous. If ingested, cyclamen can cause severe vomiting or even death. Calancho. This popular flowering plant can cause vomiting, diarrhea, and heart arrhythmias if ingested. Lilies. There are dangerous lilies and benign lilies, and it's important to know the difference. The more dangerous, potentially fatal lilies are true lilies. These include tiger, day, Asiatic, Easter, and Japanese show lilies, all of which are highly toxic to cats. Even small ingestions, such as 2 to 3 petals or leaves, can result in severe kidney failure. If your cat is seen consuming any part of a lily, bring your cat and the plant immediately to a veterinarian for medical care. More benign lilies are peace, Peruvian, and calla lilies, which contain oxalate crystals that cause minor symptoms such as tissue irritation to the mouth, tongue, pharynx, and esophagus. Oleander. Oleander is a popular outdoor shrub. However, the leaves and flowers are extremely toxic if ingested and can cause severe vomiting, slow the heart rate, and possibly even cause death. Diefenbachia. Popular in many homes and offices, Diefenbachia can cause intense oral irritation, drooling, nausea, vomiting, and difficulty swallowing. Daffodils. Ingestion of the bulb, plant, or flower can cause severe vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, and even possible cardiac arrhythmias or respiratory depression. Crystals are found in the outer layer of the bulbs, similar to hyacinths, which can cause severe tissue irritation and secondary drooling. Daffodil ingestions can result in more severe symptoms if an exposure is witnessed or symptoms are seen. We recommend seeking veterinary care for further supportive care. Lily of the Valley. The plant contains cardiac glycosides, which will cause symptoms similar to digitalis or foxglove ingestion. These symptoms include vomiting, diarrhea, a drop in heart rate, severe cardiac arrhythmias, and possibly seizures. Pets with any known exposure to this plant should be examined and evaluated by a veterinarian and treated symptomatically. And tulips and hyacinths. Tulips contain allergenic lactones, while hyacinths contain similar alkaloids. The toxic principle of these plants is very concentrated in the bulbs versus the leaf or flower, so make sure your dog isn't digging up the bulbs in the garden. When the plant parts or bulbs are chewed or ingested, it can result in tissue irritation to the mouth and esophagus. Typical signs include profuse drooling, vomiting, or even diarrhea, depending on the amount consumed. With large ingestions of the bulb, more severe symptoms such as an increase in heart rate and changes in respiration can be seen and should be treated by a veterinarian. So there you go. And now, from Pet Tales Spring 2018 edition, Some Bunnies Hungry. Sarah Gebby, DVM, writes, in veterinary school, there was a phrase that was used many times in our pocket pets and exotic species classes. Proper husbandry and accounts for 90% of rabbit, guinea pig, and turtle's good health. Husbandry is a word that means the appropriate management and raising of animals. So essentially, how they are fed, housed, and cared for in general. As a veterinarian who enjoys helping our smaller furry friends, especially rabbits, I can say without a doubt that this statement is true. Too many times I see rabbits brought in with health problems that were actually caused by their well-meaning but poorly informed owners. Unfortunately, there is too much inaccurate information on the internet, at pet stores, or from others who have never learned the proper way to care for rabbits. The most common mistake that is made is feeding an unsuitable diet, which can easily lead to health problems such as overgrown teeth, obesity, and gastrointestinal disease. The following list is a detailed description of what to feed your family rabbit to ensure she has a well-balanced, satisfying diet and, in turn, a long and happy life. Hay. The single most important part of a rabbit's diet is Timothy hay. Rabbits are so efficient at processing their food that they can easily survive on this hay alone. Although we enjoy supplementing with other food items for more balance and variety. The biggest feeding error we see owners making with their rabbits is not providing any or not providing enough Timothy hay. This hay should always be provided free choice to rabbits. They should have access to it at all times. And it should comprise the majority of their diet. It can be offered in a trough hung from the side of the cage. This keeps it up off the floor where things can sometimes get messy, inside of boxes, wicker baskets, paper towel rolls within the cage, or just piled in clumps around the habitat. Rabbits were made for foraging, and in the wild, they would be spending hours a day searching out nutritious food to eat, so they will appreciate as many challenges that you can provide them by hiding their food in different places. Timothy hay serves the very important purpose of helping to keep your rabbit's ever-growing teeth short and in good working order, as well as providing the essential fiber that your rabbit's gastrointestinal tract needs to keep moving. Always make sure the hay is Timothy hay and not alfalfa hay, which has too much calcium for a rabbit system. So remember, hay. Pellets. The second biggest diet-related mistake we see being made with bunnies is not providing them with the correct type and amount of pellets. Rabbits should only be fed what we call a uniformly pelleted diet, one in which all of the food pieces look exactly the same, usually small cylindrical pellets. Regrettably, there are many mixed seed and pellet diets on the market for rabbits that look much more interesting to the human eye, colorful and with lots of variety. But with these diets, your rabbit will almost certainly only pick out and eat the fatty, less nutritional pieces. This results in an unbalanced diet that is too high in fat and calories for our rabbits and too low in that essential fiber. Just like us, when given the choice between wholesome food and junk food, a bunny will tend to go for the bad stuff, which is unhealthy. It is up to us to make sure that they have those uniform pellets so they don't have the opportunity to eat only the junk food. While this may sound boring to us, remember that it is our responsibility to take care of them properly, and there will be plenty of opportunity to provide them with variety in the next section. A rabbit should only be fed between 1/8 and 1/4 cup of pellets a day, depending on their size. Overfeeding pellets can lead to a lack of appetite for the essential Timothy hay that rabbits so desperately need and is almost always the reason for a rabbit not showing interest in their hay. Vegetables and fruits. In addition to hay and pellets, all rabbits should be offered a variety of vegetables and some fruit on a daily basis. Leafy greens are the best choice as they are very nutritious and provide for extra water intake. You can provide one packed cup of fresh, washed greens for every 2 pounds of body weight per day. Examples include romaine lettuce, escarole, red and green lettuce, herbs and dandelion greens, and flowers from outside. You may also offer a total of 1 tablespoon of per 2 pounds of body weight per day of other types of veggies or fruit, such as carrots, squash, tomatoes, apples, pears, peaches, or berries. Make sure to stay away from starchy foods such as corn, beans, and potatoes, which can cause stomach upset, and cereal products such as bread, crackers, or cookies, which will cause obesity and stool problems. Unused veggies from your fridge, peels, and vegetable tops from appropriate foods are a welcome treat and need to be discarded. In general, offering commercial treats such as yogurt drops is not recommended, as they are often full of sugar and lack nutrition. Rabbits can be a wonderful choice of pet for your family. They are gentle creatures, entertaining to observe and interact with, and are quite easy to care for. And there really is nothing cuter than watching a bunny munching away at something he loves. All that is needed is the knowledge of the proper husbandry to provide them with a healthy and fulfilling life in your home. And that'll do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. And please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.